We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you turn your Bibles there, we'll be in starting in verse 8. Title is Never Ending Love. This chapter is truly an amazing chapter. It's all about love. So as I started this last week or the week and the week before in prepping for it, as we look at the last verses of this chapter about love, agape love, the word for love, God's love is agape in the original Greek text. There's many different words that we use love for. Phileo is a Greek word for the word love, which means brotherly love. There's also eros, which is never in the Bible, which is where we get our word erotic come from. We need to understand agape love, that this is the love that God has. The love that God has is what's called agape. And God is love. Scripture says it. God's love is different from man's love. Completely different. God's love, agape, and this is a description, the best that I could write down here, is unconditional, sacrificial, selfless. It is an action love, active love. It seeks the well-being of others without anything, expecting anything in return. That's kind of God's love. That's what God's love is. It is a deliberate choice to behave in a loving, serving manner, regardless of emotions. And we're going to see that love is far superior to all the spiritual gifts combined. The spiritual gift of love, of God's love. So as we start this out, and we're going to finish this chapter, it's a very short chapter, but again, I can't overemphasize this. God's love is a spiritual gift. It is God's love. And you'll hear me say over and over again, ask God to fill us with His love, to remove our garbage out of our hearts and put His love into it. This is critical. So as I open this up, and we're going to read here verses 8 through 13. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I want to say again, chapters 12, 13, and 14 all deal with spiritual gifts. And reemphasize that again, spiritual gifts are given only by the Holy Spirit. You cannot earn them, you cannot work for them, you cannot claim them. They're given by the Holy Spirit for a specific reason, and they're all given to reach the world for Christ. They're not meant to glorify any individual except Jesus Christ. That's it, period. And we're going to see that here. So it opens up, love never ends. The last section of this chapter. And I was thinking about God's love is permanent. It is permanent. The love that He pours into our hearts is fractional, but it is poured into our hearts. That's the only thing we're taking with us into heaven. All other spiritual gifts are gone. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that. So God's love, and love never ends. So love never vanishes.
It's not gone.
It never ceases. It never fails. It lasts forever. So what spiritual gift should we want it all the more? Yeah, the spiritual gift of love, by all means. It's going to be with you forever. This is what we truly, and I truly want you to understand, is that we have to grasp this. I'm talking about the spiritual gift that is written here in the scripture of love. It is the only spiritual gift that we take into heaven. That's it. Love is the one thing that is forever. That's it. God is love. Scripture says that. God is love. His nature is love. His very being is love. Everything that God has done or ever has done is out of His love. No matter what. They can all say, oh, it's Old Testaments, revenge and all. No, God did things for love. It was always about love. Love for man. This contrasts prophecy, tongues, knowledge. They will seek to exist. Look what the scripture says. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Scripture says it. But love doesn't. Love's the only thing we're taking into heaven. Think about this. The spiritual gifts, all the spiritual gifts will pass away except love. Now, some people may be blessed with prophecy, tongues, wisdom, knowledge, with these gifts. But all spiritual gifts are given to reach a lost world for Christ. That's why they're given. An individual should never be exalted because of that. It's all to bring glory to God. They're temporary. They do not last forever. When we stand in all eternity before God, it will be in love. God's love. And God loves man so much. If you don't think He does, I'm here to tell you, He loves you beyond anything I can express. As I sat here this morning early, going over this so many times, I told God I can't preach it. I can't do it, Lord, because I'll fail. I can't fully express how much God loves you. I can give you everything I got, but it doesn't measure up to what God really loves you. And you need to understand that. God loves you so much. So much. And we need to understand that spiritual gifts are given. For believers, to believers, you cannot have a spiritual gift unless you're a believer. So you can't even have the spiritual gift of love unless you're a believer. They're given to believers for one reason. To reach the lost. To minister to a world. Spiritual gifts are tools for us to use to reach the lost. God told me I was a tool being used for Him after I had done something 6 months ago. And He goes, Greg, you're a tool. And I go, what? A tool. A tool to be used. And I'm going to share it. This was not in my notes. It was snowing. Snowing was deep. Brightwood was covered in snow. And I had went and helped somebody find housing, food. And he goes, afterwards he told me, and I was praising God because I was able to get this individual housing and some food. And he goes, Greg, you're a tool I use. I don't get it, Lord. And then he gave me it was as clear as a bell. He goes, do you remember Annette, our secretary, how she'd just been praising God because the snow was so deep, and he sent these two guys to shovel her out of the snow. I go, yeah, she was thrilled to death praising you. Yeah, I remember that, Lord. He goes, you're the shovel. They used a shovel to get the snow out. They didn't praise the shovel. They didn't thank the shovel. She thanked the gentleman, and she praised God. We're tools. Spiritual gifts are tools for God to use to reach the lost. And love is the greatest tool we can be. So let's look at something here. Some believers, some churches, focus on spiritual gifts. Prophecy, tongues. If you've seen it, you've watched anything on television, you can see it happening, etc. But I want us to understand something here. Tongues, and you've seen people doing crazy things. If we're focusing on these spiritual gifts, prophecy, tongues, if we're doing that, are we doing what we accuse the world of doing by focusing on the temporary? We need to focus on the permanent. Love. God's love. We need to love the people. If he gives us a gift of prophecy or of tongues or any other wisdom, knowledge, it is to be used to reach the people for Christ. Love. Do we focus on our abilities, on earthly gifts, instead of serving and ministering in love? That's what we're called to do, each and every one of us. God's love is perfect. None of us here know what perfect love truly is, because we don't know. We know what our own love we have, but God's love is perfect. And God's love is complete. Ours lacks. There is a time coming, though, when we will know perfect and complete love. And that's in the presence of God. All questions are answered. We get to see God. And love will be permanent in the lives of believers for all eternity. Perfect. So what should our hearts and our mind be focused on? Love. God's love. Loving people in the kingdom. Folks, whatever gifts you have, it could be administrative gifting. It could be you're gifted with things that you can hand out and pass out. You may be gifted in knowledge or wisdom or any of this. It is to reach the lost for God's glory and his honor. This verse says, prophecies will pass away, tongues will cease, and knowledge will pass away. You know, there are times where all of us think we're pretty sharp. I've learned I'm dumb as a bag of rocks. In other words, those gifts, they end. So our focus needs to be, and I'll say it over, on the gift of love. If a person is gifted by the Holy Spirit with one of these gifts, and God will give that to you at certain times in your life, it is a tool for you to reach the lost world in love. We saw that in chapters 12. You can have all, remember that you can have the gift of tongues, but it's not done in love, it's a clanging sound. If prophecies and it's not done in love, it's nothing. It's useless. If you have knowledge, but it's not given in love, it's worthless. We just read that over the last few weeks. So what's the key? Love. God's love. By all means. We're to reach the lost in that. He does say in verses 9 through 10, for we know in part. Now, I'm going to get a little bit into this. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So we know in part. And I tried to figure this out. I go, well, God, what kind of percentage would that be? 10% we know part or whatever. I actually, after I talked to God for quite a while, I figured out it wasn't even a fraction of 1%. We know in part. Just a little. We prophesy in part. Just a little. Yeah. So why do these gifts pass away? Because they're imperfect and they're partial. We're going to have it the minute we face with God. You're going to know and have everything right then. We will have perfect prophetic understanding. Oh, I know why now. You ever wonder why that happened? You'll know it by all means. Because we're going to have perfect understanding with God in heaven. I think then the celebrating, rejoicing when we're with God will be beyond anything we can compare. Because we're going to see, wow, you sent your son that I could have all of this. We will see God and we will be with him forever. Will we need tongues in heaven? No. No, not at all. No tongues. We need to understand tongues is a tool to reach the lost. Just like he told me, you're a shovel. That's it, Lord. That's it. Okay. So I thought about it a lot. I go, well, I don't want to be a shovel that's sitting over there against the wall in the corner of the garage. I said, Lord, I want to be a shovel that's shoveling, doing work. What tool you are, I don't know. But he gave me that reference. So I want somebody to pick that shovel up and go to work. I want to be used. Because why? It brings him glory, not me. That's why sometimes he can set it aside. Spend time with him. What would we prophesy about? We're with God forever. Well, in the future, it's going to be forever. What's the future forever? We're with God. Perfection. We don't know what perfection is. Remember, God is love. And God is forever. That's love. We're with him forever. While man is on this earth, all our abilities, all that man possesses, knowledge, are as a child. Immature and imperfect. It's what the scripture's telling us. We're like a child. We're immature. We're imperfect. Okay. I can understand that part. Because we know as you grow older, you grow more in knowledge. It's just like when you first got saved. And then as you continue to grow, it's your sanctification, you're growing in knowledge of the Word. You're growing in the love of God, just like a child. And think about this, that day when you become face-to-face with God. I don't know what it's going to be like. I think the rejoicing in our hearts would explode. I really do. It's going to be perfect. Love will be perfect between man and God. I think, wow. This is why the gift of God's love in our heart is so superior to all spiritual gifts combined. Because all those spiritual gifts do nothing unless there's love. And that's where I think sometimes focus has to be put on. Paul really went into it here at this church because they had spiritual gifts. And it was, they got into a church of rebellion and how they dealt with it and pride and arrogance. And Paul's telling them, hey, if it don't have love with it, it ain't worth the hell of beans. Verse 11, it does say, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. Is that not true? We can pretty much understand that. We can understand it, that there is a time of maturity. Some of us mature younger, some of us mature later, but there is that time of maturity. Full maturity is when we'll be face to face with God. So you may think, well, I'm very mature. No, you're not even close. Because it's only when we become face to face with God when we have full maturity. We will have perfect knowledge. Now, wouldn't that be amazing? A gift like that. In the perfect love of God. Everything's going to be just perfect. And God loves you that much. He loves you that much. He does say here, and it's interesting, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even if I, as I have been fully known. Well, we see in a mirror dimly. Now you're going, well, if I don't have my glasses on, I can't see nothing in the mirror. Okay? And we can understand that. But I want us to understand, we're only seeing a very partial. And like I tell you, after I spent so much time thinking this over with God, we're not even a fraction of 1% of seeing clearly. And I can remember seeing, and a lot of us will see these old antique mirrors, and they got beautiful frames. It could be gold, wood, whatever, beautiful. But the glass has gone haywire, the mirror, and you get like a little spot here, a little spot here. A lot of it you can't see because the mirror's... And that's what God laid on my heart. You can look in there, and you may see part of the top of my head, but you can't see. In the mirror, it's dimly. And that's what he's trying to tell us. We're only seeing a little bit of a portion of it, of what's going on here. And even if you're looking one, you're only going to see your figure faintly, or it's going to be obscured. That's what God's telling us. You're just seeing a little bit of it. And look at how we rejoice with God now. I mean, we get thrilled and excited. Well, and we're only seeing a little bit. Think about when you're face to face with God. This is telling us that we only see God and the truth partial. Partially. Okay. But there is a time coming when we shall know God and see God perfectly. There is that time coming. Folks, that's going to be incredible. It's going to blow our minds. It really, really is. And that is when love is perfected perfectly between God and man. When we stand before Him face to face as believers in Christ. Perfect love. And why will this happen? The reason this will happen is because God has perfect love for you. That's why it's going to happen. Not that we have perfect love towards Him. He has perfect love towards us. That's why it's going to happen. It does say here, but face to face. And I spent a lot of time trying to figure this out. Face to face. And I'm not sure I can grasp what that'll be like. And that's when I broke down and cried and cried. I can't preach it, Lord. Seeing God, perfection, I can't describe it. Lord, how do I preach this? It's God's love. That's how much love He has for you. Seeing God face to face, seeing something so perfect, we can't even think how amazing it's going to be. We really can't. It is beyond our thinking. Truly. We can't think how perfect that is. God has said in His Scripture, we can't even comprehend what it's going to be in heaven. We get glimmers through the Word of God, streets lined with gold. Okay, you know, I was thinking about that. Streets lined with gold. Gold right now, I think, I looked it up, just is like $4,500 an ounce. Which is a coin about that big. Streets of gold. Just think of all the streets. Just in Little Phelan here, I know they're smooth and you guys don't want gold streets, but if they're lined with gold, how much gold that'd be? A lot. Scripture says this. So when we see partially, it's like, oh my goodness, Lord. I think we will, literally as we approach and we stand before God, it's going to be an awe. I've always had this picture that I would just wrap onto the Lord. But sometimes I think maybe I just fall down at His feet. I don't know. Because I can't think about it. I can't figure it out, what it's going to be like when I see God. Standing in the wonderful perfection of love before God. Him. That's amazing. It is God's love that will bring us face to face with Him. Because He loves you. So how can I tell you how much He loves you? I can't. God will confirm with you over and over, I love you so much. And at that point, when you think about it, that relationship with God, how we always want a better relationship, more, it'll be perfect. Perfect with God. We will have perfect knowledge of the truth. Perfect knowledge of the truth. Why God sent His Son for you and I. Why? Love is superior to all spiritual gifts. And I think now people are, and has been, during the time when this letter was written to the church, they were focusing on spiritual gifts, tongues, prophecy, all these other things. Focus was on that. And we're going to see that in chapter 14. A lot of that. No, people. God will give you a tool. He may hand you a shovel. He may hand you a pick. You're just the pick and the shovel like me. We're just a tool. It's a tool to use. Why? To reach the lost. So that He gets glory and honor. Like I say, Annette was praising God because her driveway was shoveled out by two guys that God sent there. Just sent them there to do it. And because she'd called and said, hey, will you pray for this? And she was praying. Yeah, sure. I'm just a tool. You're just a tool that God wants to use. Tell Him to take you off the shelf. Tell Him to pull you out of the corner of the garage and use you. You will get so excited because He's getting glory. It's so neat. Love, superior to all gifts. And it breaks it down into the last verse. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest is love. Faith. Faith and hope are absolutely great, great gifts to be given by the Holy Spirit. By all means, they are fantastic gifts. And we should ask for them. Lord, strengthen my hope. Strengthen my faith. Why? Because it's going to bring Him glory and honor. you know, the faith and the hope, because as we go through hard times, there are people watching us as to how we deal with it and how we handle that. It brings him glory and it brings him honor. Faith, though, is the focus upon the revelation of God. That's the focus on the revelation of God. Love focuses on God himself. See the difference there? Faith is the revelation of God. But love focuses on God himself, because he is love. We know about God through revelation of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why the last book of your Bible is called Revelation. The first verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a book that says, hey, it's all about the horror, the end times. No, the book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah, it has other things in it, but this whole book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The entire Bible is about it. And God revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed to us God's nature through his word. This is why we study his word. I just heard this morning on daughter of Billy Graham, I forgot her name, and she was saying, we're pushing so hard because we want this nation, and they were talking about us celebrating this 250 years, we want this nation's pastors to preach the word. Preach the word. And I was thinking, wow, yeah, yeah. That's how God reveals to us his Son, Jesus Christ, is through the word. That's why I'll say, read it, study it, listen to it. I don't care. Get into it. If you can read one verse, here you go. So faith, hope, love, by these three, greatest is love. Now, we believe because it has been revealed to us through the word of Jesus Christ. When you share the gospel, you're sharing the word of Christ. John 3:16. The word reveals Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ's word, we have been revealed to God. I said that the wrong way. But what I'm saying, what has been revealed to us is through Jesus Christ and his word. That's why we study the word. Love focuses on God himself, which causes us to worship him. And that's why we can worship him. Very much so. We have faith because it has been revealed to us by the word. But think about this. And I want to bring this up because I just felt like God was tugging at me on this one. You can have faith in someone or something and not love them. And he gave me the sports, team sports. Doesn't matter, any team sports. How many times I heard, I got faith in my guys over here to back me up. I was just watching a ball game, and the pitcher was throwing, and they were saying, man, trust your fielders. Give the pitch the guy can hit instead of walking them, and trust your fielders. Have faith in your guys. And I went, you may have faith in somebody and not love them. Ask God for that spiritual gift of love for him. By all means. Ask him for that. Faith can stir love. You have faith in God. It stirs that love. But God has also revealed his love for us, sending his Son to die for us. And I think, truly, I think when we come face to face, that we would have been going, oh my gosh, I wish I'd have known this back. How much God loves you that he sent his Son so that you can live with him forever. Because through forever is only through his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. That's it. Now, hope. We have hope in being with God for all eternity. We do hope for that. Again, love focuses on God Himself. We have hope. You can have hope in someone, but not love them. We want that gift of love. Hope is great. It's a great gift. We hope in people doing things that are right. We hope that they come to know the Lord. We hope this. This is a great gift. Praise God. And our hoping in this, hopefully, leads others to Christ. That it's a gift given to reach the lost. Excuse me. Sorry. Agape love. That's like saying love, love, but it's agape. Which is true love is not in man's nature. It is not. It is a gift from God. So if it's a gift from God by the Holy Spirit, it can only be gifted to who? Believers. And you think about that. Faith can come about a man, but agape love is a gift of God to man. It is a gift. Without God, man only loves those who love him. Without that gift, man can only love his enemies through the love of God. That's the only way you can love your enemy. So you say, well, I want to reach lost. I got to love my enemy. Lord, I need that agape love in my heart. I need to be that vessel. See, in Scripture says there's vessels for honor, and then there's all sorts of different type vessels. We want to be a vessel of honor that God fills with His love and it overflows. We don't want to hold on to that love. We want to share that love with everybody. Why? Because that vessel, you, me, it's a tool. So you can count yourself, well, I'm a vessel. Okay, it's to be filled and overflowed. For why? Bring glory to God. That's it. And we have to understand that love is a gift from God. And it is superior by far to faith and hope, without a doubt. Faith and hope, again, are wonderful gifts. We want, pray for that by all means. Pray for all the spiritual gifts. We're going to see in chapter 14, it opens up and says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. Yeah, pursue love and desire the gifts. That tells us the first thing we're to do. Ask for love. And then, okay, Lord, I need the gifts so I can share that. Love does not come up short. Think about that. It doesn't. It doesn't come up short. It never fails. Love doesn't fail. Love is sacrifice and selflessness. Now, put it for me, please. 1 John 4. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. We love because He first loved us. Love. God's love. He's putting your love into you. He's putting His love into you. He loved us. He sent His Son. By all means. Now, I continue to ask and I continue to share and I continue, hopefully, to encourage you to ask God to fill you with His love. And you think, okay, I've asked for it. No, 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 we're a vessel. If you pour water into a vase, and lets it sit, what happens? Dries out, right? Yeah, yeah. But if it's a constant under a water, like constantly pouring in, it gets up top and then it overflows. Then that water moves out. It spreads out. Put up for me, and I want us to understand this more, put up Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, so hope is great, because God's love has been what? Poured into our hearts. Scripture tells us, through the Holy Spirit. The only way we can have that agape love is through the Holy Spirit. To have the Holy Spirit in you, you have to be a believer. Jesus Christ has to be your Savior, who has been given to us. God gave us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us. So, God's love has been poured into our hearts. So your heart's the vessel. Now, it's a small one. Poured in, it's going to go out. It's going to go out. That's God's love. And that's why I say, fill us, Lord. Overflow us. It says it's going to happen. Now, I can guarantee you this too much, or guarantee this too. If we come before God and you ask Him, however, you can be driving down the road, you can be sitting, however, you pray whenever, and you pray and you ask God, God, I want more of your love in me. Do you think how much would happen in our lives? Understanding that God's love is there for us. If we go and ask Him, and I was actually, just before I came in earlier this morning, I was thinking, what if we ask, now I think we only have a fraction of His love in our hearts, because what's going to happen in heaven is going to be astounding, the love that we'll have. But what if we were to say, you know, God, you have poured your love into my heart, and I know that my heart is still got garbage in it. Lord, whatever fraction amount of love you put into my heart that's changed my life radically, what if you doubled it, Lord? What if you just doubled it? Or tripled it? Wow. I thought, and I felt like God was telling me, Greg, just a little bit more would how you would impact people. That's what I'm trying to tell all of us. Just a little more of God's love, how you will impact the world. So I said, man, I don't want two or three times more. Lord, just pump it into there. Scripture says, enlarge my heart. Scripture says, I need the heart, Lord, for you to enlarge my heart so that more love can come in. And as His love comes in, Lord, get the garbage out. I don't want the garbage in there. That's flesh, that's sinful nature. Get that stuff out. But I do want us to understand about this love. Jesus gave us a commandment. Okay? Commandments are not suggestions. They're not like, well, when you get around to it, try to do this. You know how we do that with, if you get time, can you take your clothes to the bedroom? All right. You know, can you put your dirty clothes in the... No, it's a commandment. And we desperately need God's love in our heart. Watch what Jesus said in John 13 for me, please. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, look at the wording, how he says, a new commandment I'm giving to you. Okay, so if you've never read this, this is your commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. That's a tall order, folks. Jesus got up off His throne. He came down, got born in a barn, not in a hospital, born in a barn. Didn't have a car. Didn't have all this other stuff. Didn't know where His next meal was coming from. Just as I have loved you. He was whipped and beaten 39 times before He was nailed to the cross. He died for you. Just as I have loved you. That gives us a different perspective on how we're to love our neighbor. By all means, we're to love them. It's sacrificial love. It's selfless love. It's loving others that aren't going to appreciate it. It's loving others that there's no emotions other than you're just going to love them. You may get told where to go. You still love them. Jesus didn't say, well, except in this situation or except in this situation. There isn't. He said, just as I love you. And then it says, by this, what's it going to say? All of us will be known as his disciples. Now that is like getting promoted. When they say, that's a disciple of Christ right there. Oh, that's honor. We don't deserve it. They'll know you're my disciples because you have love for one another. What an amazing thing. If, and I, you know, most Christians, you would ask, do we claim to know God as Christians? Yeah. I'd say if you ask any Christian, oh, I know God. Yeah. But what if we don't have love? Well, put up 1 John 4:8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Anyone who does not love. So if you don't follow the commandment given by Christ to love one another unconditionally, sacrificially, you don't know God. So since we claim to know God, and he pours his love into us, and we say, Lord, I need more, because you know what? I'm not meeting all these qualifications. I'm failing at them, Lord. I need more of your love. He'll do it. He'll change us. And that's what's cool. That's what's really amazing. We ask God to change us so that he gets glorified evermore and nobody even knows us. Why? Because you're going to be that shovel or that pick or that lawnmower or whatever. You're just a tool. But he gets glory and honor. That's where our focus has to be. Lord, love first. We need the love. We need it. We desperately need it. Pray and ask for that continuously to be just overflowing. And then watch what happens. Opportunity will arise that you can share and you can love people into the kingdom. You may not, it may not be you'll notice anything for a while or a long time, but it's impacting people and people's lives will get changed. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you. Lord, I didn't even share a partial of your love that you have in your word. And I ask for forgiveness of that, Lord. But I pray right now that you would pour your love in our hearts. Overflow our hearts, Lord. Enlarge our hearts. And that it doesn't stop. It's just being poured in over continuously, Lord. And I pray that for every person sitting in here, God, that you would do that especially for these people sitting in here. Lord God, double your love, triple your love in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. I ask for that. And I just want to give you all glory and all honor, Lord. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship, start again. Thank you.